y'all know that my daughter, Christy, had an intracranial bleed, and which caused the stroke back on October the 30th. So we've been 7 months at this. And this past week, she had a blood clot in her left arm from a subdural blood clot. It went away in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We had lots of prayer. She had 6 kidney stones that were caused by a tumor that she had on her parathyroid, and all 6 of the kidney stones went away except for one that's down in the very bottom. It's a 7 millimeter that they say can't come out anyway. It's just too far down into the kidney. And so we need to keep praying on that, but still it's a praise report that the other 6 went away. Thank you, Jesus. And then this past week, she's been walking with a quad cane, which is a 4-legged cane. PT physical therapy, she is now walking with a single point cane. They said, praise the Lord. When we left, back in Craig Rehab in Inglewood, Colorado, where I was for 106 days. 16 days in ICU in Florida at St. Petersburg and 106 there. And when we had our final family meeting, the neurologist who headed the whole team up, he said, she will never walk. She will never fully functionally walk. She will only be able to walk, with a brace on parallel bars. She will never use a cane. She will never use a walker. Well, on May the 2nd, she used a walker and walked herself. Yes, praise the Lord. Praise God. And on May the 6th, she used a quad cane and walked herself. And the most she's done is 700 feet at one time, and that's 2 1/3 football fields. So, yes, praise the Lord. Okay. Oh, and so Thursday night, I don't know, God wakes me up or something, and I look over and she's not there because we sleep in the same bed. And I get up and I walk around the end of the bed and she's over on the floor. And I said, what are you doing? She said, I don't know. That's what we always go through. This is the 3rd time on the floor. And I said, well, did you try to walk? And she said, yes. I said, well, where'd you go? She said, the bathroom. And so she did. She'd walked. Because her left side's strong, but her right side's not. She's in a sling. It's starting to fire, though. Her shoulder and her tricep is firing. And last week, 4 times, she has a trough that her arm sits in. And that arm lifted up and went to her waist 4 times. Just so that means it's starting to fire. Yes, that's right. It's the same thing when her leg started firing. Her leg would just go up and she'd go. You know, she didn't understand it because she's not doing it, but it was firing. And so the same thing is now happening. Her arm is moving and, you know, she's getting more action there. So anyway, she has it in a sling. So when she got up, there's a table beside. She knows how to get out of bed. She locks her feet and she slings them over and she touched the table. And then there's like a dresser thing. And so she walked the dresser and she walked into the bathroom, I guess holding the wall, went to the bathroom, came back. But when she got around, she said when she came around the door, because now the weak side's over there and she doesn't have anything to hold on, she said, I went plop. And I went, okay, you're a bad girl. Don't you do this anymore. And, of course, I had the PTs talk to her, and they said, you know, if you fall and you break a hip, you break a leg, you'll be back to, you know, step one. But God told me twice. He said that I will heal her completely. He told me first, yes, praise God, you can say thank you, Jesus. The first time he told me 4 times that I will heal your daughter, and then over the last month he's told me twice I will heal her completely. So I just don't have to be concerned anymore. Yeah, praise the Lord. Oh, and she went to Florida this weekend. She flew out Saturday and is flying back Tuesday. She hasn't been anywhere, you know, other than coming home in 7 months. But we're praising God that she's getting stronger. I'm getting really strong.
Is Jenny here?
Yes, Jenny's right there.
Jenny, come up here.
Okay, I don't have any sheets on.
I just want Jenny to tell you a praise report that she read to me this week about them.
Okay, everybody, if you don't know me, I'm Jenny, and I'm part of the ministry, and I'm not always here on Sunday, but I'm here on Healing Schools. So Pop T and I, while Cheryl has been with her daughter, we've been doing prayer calls through the emails. So we prayed for a lady last week, and she was praying for a friend named Annie. She said, my friend is having brain surgery. It was a serious surgery. So would you please pray for her? We pray. We send her back our response. A few days later, we get a really short little report. It says, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Annie had surgery. She went in on Monday for surgery. They let her go home on Friday. And then by Saturday, she was planting flowers in her garden. So the doctors told him, oh, that she's going to have a long road to hoe, you know, months and months of recovery. But let's see, that's only 6 days, right? Yes. So thank you, Jesus.
You know, it's never over till Jesus says it's over. When you got doctors and medical doctors, and praise God for all those wonderful people, they're out there doing their thing, you know, they're doing the best they can. Just like with Christy that night, that Christy had the brain problem. That ruptured all that stuff. And that stroke, they said she'll never make it. She's going to die any second. Yeah, she's going to die. It's a done deal. But you know that when Christians pray,
amen.
There's a scripture I want us to look at. John 14:12. I want us to look at this, and I'm going to tell you that if the church, which we are the church, if we ever get a hold of these statements that Jesus said, now, you know, he stepped way out on a limb when he made this statement. You would think he must be God to make a statement like this. You reckon?
Yeah.
John 14:12. Cheryl's going to read John 14:12.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Amen.
As a Christian, these signs are going to follow those that believe. Are you a believing believer or an unbelieving believer? Well, I'm going to tell you that most of the church that I was associated with all my life was unbelieving believers. We didn't pray in faith. We prayed in fact, what did he say we could ask for, Brother Scott?
Anything.
Now, you think he's big enough, he's a big enough God to fulfill anything?
I believe so.
You believe so? Yeah, the way you pray for people, I know you believe that. Scott sees miracles all the time. He prays for people everywhere, and he sees all kinds of good stuff happen. You know, people don't believe. They really don't. When you pray, you must believe. Is that right, Gracie?
Right.
When you pray, you must believe. Somebody said, well, in fact, I saw a man just last week on one of the Christian television networks. He was talking about he's had a problem with the kidney stone. He said, you know, I'm going to have somebody pray for me, and they were going to go in October or something, and we're going to check this thing, and if it's still there, I'll have to have surgery.
Yeah.
What do you think, that it's probably still going to be there?
Yeah.
No faith, right? And of course, you know, some people will say, if I don't get an answer to my prayer, it's because I don't have any faith. You should never say that, they say, about somebody. But let me tell you what. Whenever I make a statement like that, where did I get that? Who did that come from?
The Lord
himself. If you can't believe with no doubt in your heart, he said, I ain't going to do nothing for you. I think about how this works with kidney stones. We've already prayed for Christy's. That kidney stones will go away. So we know it's a done deal. But sometimes we don't pray in faith. I remember one night years ago when I was still a deacon at the Baptist church. I come in on Wednesday night service and just in Baptist church. And somebody said, when we started to pray, he said, well, tonight when we pray, we're going to pray for Daryl Durant. He's one of our deacons and he's got a kidney stone. I said, okay. So when it came my time to pray, There probably was 20 people there that night at that meeting, our Wednesday night prayer meeting. So I quoted this scripture, Matthew 18:19. Does anybody know what Matthew 18:19 says? What does that say, Kim?
Again, I say.
That is.
Two of you on earth.
How many?
Just two.
Just two on earth.
On earth, touching anything, I will do. Anything you want.
I'll do it for you. So I said, folks, tonight before I pray for Daryl, I want to read the scripture, Matthew 18:19. And I prayed, I read that scripture, and I said, okay, now I'm going to take that scripture and I'm going to ask the Lord to give me one other person in this room, just one. He says it's two, right? If two of us agree about anything we ask him for, he'll do it for us. I said, so we're going to believe with no doubt in our heart that I'm going to pray and ask God to pulverize that kidney stone and pass out of Daryl Durant's body. I mean, I still remember this story like it happened yesterday. That's why I'll even use his name, because I guess him and his wife and kids still live here in the area somewhere. I don't know, but I've known Daryl Durant for years. He was a good man, good man. But he had a kidney stone. So anyway, after I quoted all that, I said, now then, I'm going to pray and ask God to pulverize that kidney stone and for Daryl Durant to pass that kidney stone with no pain and to pass it tonight, right now, in Jesus' name. So I said, thank you, Lord. Now do everything with prayer and thanksgiving. So we've done all those things. So anyway, in just a little bit, other people begin to pray. We go all down through all the prayers. We come down to, there's a retired pastor that's there that night, and he's the only one that has not prayed. And nobody else has agreed with me in prayer. He said, how many got an agree?
Two.
I was the only one that spoke that prayer. Nobody said nothing. I said, okay, Lord, I need you to move on that pastor's heart for him to agree with me in prayer so we can see a miracle. And I know you love to do miracles. Because you said in John 14:12, anyone that believes in you, we can see him do. We can do greater things than he does. Is that what he said?
Yes.
So we know he loves to see miracles because he loves to do them for us. So anyway, I said, okay, Lord, he's the last one to pray. I got to have him agree with me in prayer. So when it come his turn, he said, and by the way, he said, I'm going to pray for Daryl for the kidneys, and I'm going to be in agreement with Thurman on his prayer. I almost jumped up, and I jumped up, and I'm going, oh, praise God. So thank you, Lord, it's going to happen, because he prayed in faith. I prayed in faith. I know that he's going to be healed. I just know it. I know it. I know it. It's done. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And so he prayed. He thanked the Lord for it and everything, and then we went on. I went and got my car and started home, and I got home, and phone rang. It was Cindy Durant, his wife. He said, Thurman, I need to talk to Betty. Said, is she at home yet? I said, no, she's still up at the nursery. I said, she'll be home in a little while. I said, by the way, Daryl's going to pass that kidney stone tonight. She said, well, I sure hope you're right. I said, Cindy, I'm not hoping. It's a guarantee from God. Yeah. And I said, me and Pastor so-and-so, we agreed in prayer that God would do anything that we ask him for. And I said, we ask him to pulverize that kidney stone and pass it out of Daryl's body. So I said, I'm going to guarantee you he's going to pass that kidney stone tonight. She said, wow. He said, who is that you're talking to? Cindy said, it's Thurman. He said, what's he saying? He said that him and so-and-so prayed up there at the church, and he guarantees you're fixing to pass that kidney stone in Jesus' name. He said, well, I'll tell you what, let's do. If Thurman said that Jesus made a promise we're going to do it, he said, let me get that little strainer and put it in here and let me pass that thing. So he went over there and got that little strainer, went in the bathroom, and he got screamed back. He said, the thing just came out. It didn't even have a pain of no kind. He said, Thurman, and Daryl's over there hollering, Thurman, thank you, thank you, thank you. I said, Daryl, don't you dare say Thurman, say Jesus, thank you. I said, Jesus is the one that made that thing go. And I said, Jesus is the one that said in John 14:12, just think, if we stand on these promises, did he say if two of us on earth agreed about anything? If he said that, then why in the world don't we use that promise more often? When we go to pray for somebody, why do we just say, well, okay, God, I don't know what your will is, but maybe if it is your will, you'll answer my prayer. You won't see very many answers to prayer like that, I guarantee you. Once in a while, God may feel sorry for you. But very rarely will you get a prayer answered. If you want to see him do something, you pray a prayer according to the scripture. I mean, you pray that scripture. You quote those scriptures like, Jesus, you said in John 14:13-14, that anybody that believes in you, Lord, and I believe in you, I'm one of your sons, and I know that you can do exceedingly, abundantly above all that I can even think or imagine. And Lord, I know it's a done deal, so I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray believing, and it's going to happen. And the kidney stone is going to pass. You don't say, we're going to see what happens in 2 or 3 months. And if the kidney stone's still there, we're going to have surgery. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to stand on the promises of God, and we're going to knock those devils out in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So anyway, Daryl was completely healed that night, all because I stood on the Word. Now, let me show you something in the Word right quick. Let's see where I want to go. I want to go to James 1:6-7. James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Let me show you what happens when you don't believe. When you pray, when you ask, you must believe with no doubt in your heart. Look what that says.
Let's get there.
But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
When you pray, do you want to pray in faith?
Yes.
If you pray in faith, believing, what are you going to see? You're going to see an answer to your prayer. Just like that scripture there in John 14:13-14. John, in fact, I'll tell you how this works after seeing Daryl and the kidney stone. That's the Baptist Church right up here in Justin, Texas. We pray, but we don't believe. We pray and we don't believe. When most people are asked, do you believe you're going to get your prayer answered? If you've never walked in this, what does most people say? If two of you on earth agree about what?
Anything.
Why do we not believe? Why? If God can sit right there and make a statement, to anyone that believes in me, do you believe in him?
Yes.
So you're a Christian, you're a believer, that qualifies you to get an answer to your prayer.
Yes.
But you got to believe with no doubt in your heart. Right, the first time I can remember using a massive promise like that was whenever I was praying for a little boy. I was asked, in fact, I started teaching just the principles of the kingdom of God in my Baptist church. Because the reason I did that is because the Lord spoke to me and told me to do that. He said, start teaching what I've learned, taught you in your Baptist church. So anyway, I started praying for people, started talking to people about the promises of God, and they were dumbfounded. I mean, Thurman, it does say that if two of us agree, it does say that, doesn't it? Does the Word of God really say that if two of us agree, it's done? So, why do most people, in fact, I got tickled at Kim. She's a school teacher, has been. One day she was reading Matthew 18, and she came up on that awesome promise. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything, she told her husband, said, wouldn't that be nice if that really worked? Would it be nice if it really worked? Why don't it work? It's in God's Word, isn't it? So one day she asked me a question. Thurman, why did God put promises like that in there if they don't work? I said, but Kim, they do work. She said, no, that couldn't be real. She said, if it was, my husband and I, that means we could pray about anything and he would do it. And I said, well, Kim, that's what he said. You mean to tell me that we could take that and pray for anything? I said, yes. So one day they said, they was doing some yard work for somebody, and they like just about 15 or 20 minutes being through, and all of a sudden it began to really cloud up, and either heavy rain clouds. They got to talking, you know, we'd like to get this done before the rain comes. So they both backed off out there. Did Jesus control the weather?
Absolutely.
Did he say peace be still, and it was peace be still?
Yes.
So they got out there together, maybe even held hands together. I don't know all the details, but they quoted that scripture. And they told the Lord, Lord, we thank you for giving us. You said we could ask for anything, and so we're going to ask you to hold off the weather till we get the mowing done and get the tractors in the trailer and the door closed, and then you can let it rain.
Yes.
So they got with it. They thanked the Lord for doing it. They got with it. They started mowing, finished their mowing. Scott run that machine up the ramps, put it right inside there, pulled the door down, and just as he pulled the door down, the rain started falling. They said, my goodness, what a coincidence. Was that a coincidence?
No,
it wasn't no coincidence. So they saw it work one time, and so after that they thought, this really does work. Maybe we ought to do this more often. And so they did, and they found that it worked every time they did it in faith. Now, when they didn't do it in faith, it didn't work. But when they did it in faith, it worked. So, you know, when you go to pray for somebody, so many people won't pray for people at all because they just don't believe. If you really believe that you have this kind of power, that you could quote these promises and they would work for you every time, you would be going around the house quoting God's Word all the time. And that's what God wants. He wants you to be with Him. He wants you to quote His Word. I mean, I think about that time when Mike, whenever he had a pen and a timing gear, he was trying to get it out, and he could not get that thing out. He worked on it for hours. Couldn't get that simple little pen out of that thing. Gracie finally came out and said, honey, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm trying to pull this pen out. I can't get it out. She said, have you prayed about this yet? Woman, I don't need to pray about that. I've done this 100 times. All I got to do is pull it out. But this one won't come out. She said, well, have you prayed? He said, no, I haven't prayed. I don't need to pray. God's trying to teach Mike a lesson. You need me in everything. Well, couldn't get it done. Finally, after a little while, maybe an hour, whatever it was, she came back and said, well, are we going to stay here all night or are you going to pray? Something like that, right, Gracie? So anyway, he said, okay, woman, okay, we're going to pray. So they prayed. And they thanked the Lord for showing Mike what he needed to learn. He reached up and put his pen or his hand on that pen, and it just fell out of there. Now, where do we get all these instructions?
The Word.
The Word of God. I will say one thing, that changed Mike and Gracie that day forever. They don't have any problem praying about anything. If Mike runs out there and she says, well, have you prayed about that yet? He says, yes, I have, but let's you and me agree again in prayer. I mean, he is definitely not hesitant to pray because he knows what happens when he prays. Signs and miracles and wonders happen, and he's able to pull the pen out of the time of year with no problem. And it works. It really works good, doesn't it, Mike? Works real good. But just think, this little boy, as I started teaching these things, this little boy, his mother and dad come to me and says, we have a son that's 11 years old, that he has warts all over his body, hundreds of them. And said, we'd like for you to come down and pray over him. So I went down to their house. I saw the little boy. He came and sat down beside me. He had scars on him where they'd burned them off of him before, and they'd come back in the scars. I looked at him and I said, boy, you really got a lot of them. He had hundreds and hundreds of warts. He had all them big old scars on the back of his right hand where they'd burned them off and they came back in the scar. After I looked at that, I said, well, we got some sin here in somebody's life. We need to get rid of the sin. So we started checking and seeing what kind of sin they might have. And, of course, there was a whole bunch of sins available. Wow. They were, especially the daddy. He was doing all kinds of things wrong. You know that as a son of God, a Christian man, you're supposed to walk holy before God. You're not supposed to. He'd even done some things that got him put in prison for a little while. So anyway, finally got out. I told him, I said, all you got to do in God's world is ask him to forgive you, and he'll forgive you. It don't matter what you've done, right? He forgives every time when you confess your sin. So the man, the daddy, he confessed his sin. We prayed. I told him, I said, I'm going to take this Matthew 18:19. And I'm going to pray for you and ask God to take away all these warts and scars. I did all that. And I told the boy, I said, all you got to do is believe now. Do you believe? Little Philip ran. He was 11. He said, Mr. Scrivener, after what I heard you read out of the promises of God, I believe God can do anything. Well, is that right?
Yes.
Well, not only can he do what he said, but he can do exceedingly abundantly above all you can even think or imagine. He's not limited by nothing except our sin and our unbelief. So anyway, we prayed and asked the Lord to take away all the warts and scars. And thanked the Lord for doing it. When I started to leave and got up off my knees, I was on the floor. Got up off my knees and started to walk out. And the mother said, when are they going to come off? I said, that's the only thing God don't tell me is when. He didn't say when, did he? He said it will happen, but he didn't say when. So anyway, after we remitted their sins, prayed the prayer of faith, stood on the promises of God, and I turned to walk off and I said, now, if you'll stay in faith with me with no doubt in your heart, I guarantee that every one of these warts and scars on Philip's body will go away. I guarantee it because God made us a promise. Is that pretty hard to make? Most people determine. I've had many people tell me, you can't guarantee what God will do. You don't know what he'll do. Yes, I do. He'll do exactly what he did in this book. Whatever he said he'll do, that's what he'll do. So anyway, I told her, I said, I guarantee you something else. When I walk out this door, there's going to be a little critter. He's going to tap you on the shoulder and he's going to say, now, you don't really think just because that old gray-headed man came over here and prayed that those warts and scars were going to go away. Remember, you took him to the doctor and they burned some of them off, but they come right back in the scars. He said, they ain't going to come off. I said, when that happens, that's coming from the devil. And when that happens, I said, you get out Matthew 18:19, and you say, Mr. Devil, I want you to see what God says. Right here, he told me in Matthew 18:19 that I could pray and ask for anything, and he would do it for me. Is that what he said?
Yes.
So I said, well, thank you for doing it. I said, and stay in faith. Believe in. I said, I guarantee you those warts will go away. The next morning, when I left there, the next morning, the warts on Philip's hands were gone overnight. And over the next three weeks, all the warts, all the scars, everything went away, and Philip was completely healed. And that must have been I mean, 15 years ago? Maybe 20 years ago. Anyway, the boy is, he's married, got four kids, and everything is going great. Just think. I asked him one time, I said, Philip, do you have any pictures of you when you had all them warts on you? He said, no, sir. He said, I didn't want nobody to see me. I looked awful. Isn't that something? The promises. What is wrong with the promises of God? So why, if we got these promises, and they're in there, if that's scripture, in fact, I want her to read one more time here. I want to read John 14, 12, 13, and 14.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Is that a great promise?
Yes.
Who is that for?
All who believe.
Only for those who believe. It's not for the whole church. I mean, if you go up here in my little Baptist church where I went all those years, you know, in fact, it's amazing. I was upstairs. I taught Sunday school class in that building down there for years, years and years. One day a man came up and he came to see me. I was on the radio back in those days also. I was upstairs in my classroom and we were getting ready to start that Sunday morning. This young man and his wife came in and said, all I got to say, Thurman, he says, what does these people down here have against you? I said, well, I don't know if they have anything against me. Why? He said, my wife and I heard you on the radio. And we said, sir, heard that you went to the Baptist church here in Justin. So he said, we thought we'd come by and meet you and see if we don't hear a whole lot of people that talk about the Word of God like you talk about it. So we wanted to see what it says. So he said, we came over here. We asked him, where's Thurman Scherner's class? They said, well, we got a couple of slides down the hallway down here. We got Sam's class over here. He said, no. I don't care about all those slides. I'm looking for Thurman Scherner. Well, but we got this class over here. He said, wait a minute. Do you have a man here that teaches the Bible called Thurman Scherner? And they said, well, yes. Where can we find him? Well, he's up those stairs on the right. Okay. He said, obviously they don't want you teaching in this church. He says, I can understand because I've never seen or heard of anybody teach the Bible like you teach it, but you teach it like it's written. Just exactly like it's written. Does it bring forth miracles when you teach it like it's written?
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? Just think. After all these years, finally, Cheryl, she went to church with me down there one Sunday. After church was over, we left. I'd been teaching so long. She said, why don't you just stay home and study on Sunday morning? She said, these people here, you're not going to teach them nothing. Yeah, she said, you're wasting your time. And your breath. So, but, you know, all I was doing was trying my best to teach them the principles of the kingdom. So we left there and did what this is her suggestion. I started teaching just in the church, in my own church. Isn't that amazing? So if you want to see some answer to prayer, how many of you would love to see God answer your prayer? So you got to have something to pray about. You know, it gets me when people call here, and they do this pretty regular, on the internet also, they call and say, I want you, my Pastor Thurman, I want you to pray for me. Okay, for what for? I just want you to pray for me. For what? Do you know this is a big world? A big world. You know what? All I can do is when you say, I don't know if I'm going to get my prayer answered or not. More than likely I won't, because I don't know what I'm praying for. I need some kind of information to pray for. I need to know, what is your problem? Do you have warts on your hands? Yeah, or do you have something else wrong with you? If you got anything that I can pray about, I'll pray about. But so many people, it's amazing the number of people that want me to pray for them, but they won't tell me what they pray for. If you don't want me to know what you're praying for, how do you expect me to get an answer? You see where I'm coming from? You need to know what you're praying for. You need to know if there's any sin in these people's life. You really need, in other words, if people, do you think that most people got some kind of sin in their life?
Yes.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. You got some kind of sin. You need to pray for that. You need to forgive that sin. So what you should do when somebody asks you to pray for them, the first thing you should do is say, okay, Lord, we're going to take your scripture and go back and find a scripture like Matthew 18:19, the one we just talked about, John 14:13-14. But to get some kind of a scripture to base your faith on, something, and then go to the Lord and say, Lord, now then, you said in John 20:23 that whosoever sins I confess and whosoever sins I remit, they are remitted. So, Lord, I forgive Susie's, Bob, Jack, Jane, whoever they are. I forgive their sin. Somebody says, you can't forgive sin. Well, Jesus, don't say that too loud, because he obviously don't know that. Jesus probably, do you think Jesus knows what he's talking about? When he said we could do whatever he did and greater things than these, you can do it because you do it in my name. So if we pray and remit somebody's sin, John 20:23. Somebody look at that. Look that up for me and tell me. What? Okay, is it up there? John 20:23. Whosoever sins you will forgive or remit, they're remitted. Is that what it said? Huh. Why do people don't believe that? Okay, so if you see that verse, whosoever sins you can forgive, they're remitted. So, Lord, if I feel that Bob or Sue or something, maybe it was me, maybe I just had a problem, maybe I got angry with somebody, and I said, Lord, I haven't confessed that. But if I get angry with someone, I should forgive them immediately. I mean, you're going to run into some people that's going to rub you wrong, and you're going to have a good chance to repent anytime you want to. Don't carry it on. And it could easily be your own spouse, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, your own wife or own husband can make you get upset. So, Lord, forgive them. Forgive me, Lord, in Jesus' name. And then I'm clean. I remit my sins. I remit their sins. And after you've remitted the sins, then you need to stand on, you need to find a promise, like Matthew 18:19. And when you find a Matthew 18:19, you need to look at Luke 10:19-20. Luke 10:19-20 says, you've been given all power and all authority over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. So then you need to take that word and you need to cast out that spirit. That spirit of infirmity, command that devil to leave, because he's the one that's creating your problem. So I command you, beast, to come out of me. Leave me and go to the abyss and don't come back, in Jesus' name. I mean, treat that devil like a stepchild. I mean, treat him mean. Get with him. Beat him with a cat of nine tails. I mean, beat him. Is that what you should do? Okay, Lord, I repent for that. I've heard that so many times in my life, it's just there. Oh, you heard it too, Miss Jackie? treat you like a stepchild, huh? See, there now we all get a chance to repent, right? Lord, I repent. Thank you, Lord, I forgive them. In Jesus' name. And once we remit the sin, once we take the authority and we cast out that spirit, command that spirit to leave, and then after we've done that, once we've committed him to the Lord and we command that spirit to leave, we lay hands on that person, and then when we reach over and command that spirit of infirmity to leave, when you demand and command the spirit of infirmity to leave after you've repented and remitted the person's sins, does that spirit have to go away?
Yes.
And sometimes you won't have the faith. But there was a man that came here just a few weeks ago. His wife couldn't sleep at night. She was having all kinds of problems. So he called me. I don't know if he could bring her out here on Sunday. I told him, sure, of course. He said, well, I'm trying to cast that spirit out, but I can't get it out. I said, well, sometimes one of us can only kick out 1,000. But two of us can kick out how many? 10,000. So I said, there's power in numbers. So I said, bring your wife. So he brought his wife. And as soon as they walked in the door a couple Sundays ago, as soon as they went to the back, right there when they first came in, I sat down with them. And we remitted her sins, commanded the spirit to leave. And I had him lay his hands on her shoulders, and I laid my hands on her front part. And I commanded for that spirit of hell to leave her and go to this, never come back. The next Sunday he told me, he said, my wife slept like a baby the whole week. No problem. She's still sleeping good. Now then, what kind of power do we have? If you can't get it done with one of you, well, you should go get you a buddy. Is that true?
Yes.
Once you kick out that devil, he has to go when you remit the sins of whoever and you command that spirit to leave, he's got to go away. But that's what happens to us. We don't believe. When you don't believe, it don't happen. You've got to believe. So when you pray, in fact, I was talking to a man just this last week, and he was going to pray over a girl in the hospital. He said, I knew what those scriptures said. It said this, you have to pray in faith with no doubt in your heart. So he said, when I went down to the hospital, he said, some of the people that were in there told me I couldn't go in and pray for this child because she was in such bad shape. I think she was 15 or 16 years old. He said, I walked in and laid hands on the child, and I said, Jesus said, remit the sin, cast out the spirit, and lay hands on the sick, and they'll get well. So he said, that's what I'm going to do. And they told him, said, you can't do that. He said, I've already done it. Well, I was standing by the bed. I remitted the sins, and I laid hands on the girl. So she's going to get well. So he said, doctor didn't appreciate me being in there, but I told him, I said, I'm a pastor and I come to pray for this girl. He said, I walked out and left and said, as I started to leave, the doctor said, what did you do? He said, I just prayed. What do you mean? He said, that girl is recovering. She's responding right before our eyes. When the doctor asked him, what did you do? He said, I prayed for that child, and I guarantee God hears my prayer. I guarantee. Do you think God loves it when we believe his word?
Yes.
I mean, he loves it. If you want to see God do something great, do something in faith. Remit people's sins, cast out the evil spirits, and pray the prayer of faith for people, and then believe that your prayer is going to be heard by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't measly mouth around saying, well, maybe if it's God's will, maybe he will. No, it is his will to meet your need, right?
Amen.
Wow. That's the way to get your prayers answered. Well, I don't know what I was going to do. This whole thing was just a preempt. We need to know what it takes to get our prayers answered. And so I was going to teach on divorce and remarriage, but since we've gone so far into this, I'm not going to talk about that at all. We're just going to take how to get your prayers answered. We're going to stand on how to get your prayers answered, and I want you to practice this week praying for people. If you can't do nothing else, if you want to see your prayers answered, just walk down the street, and when you see somebody, just shake hands with them. You say, hey, and shake hands with them. How are you doing? And then put your other hand, put two hands on the people. Say, you know, can I pray for you? Most people, do you know if you ask to pray for people, most people that are not even Christians will say it's okay. When you pray for people, sometimes you'll get to see God answer your prayer right then.
Yes.
If you don't pray, you won't see Him do nothing. But if you remit those sins, so the first thing you should do is remit the sins of yourself and the other person. And then command those spirits to leave, and then pray the prayer of faith, and watch God go to work. If you do those kind of things, I guarantee, if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll see Him do great and mighty things in answering your prayers. Right? We thank the Lord for all these military men. When I do that, if you have, man or woman, if you're in the military still to this day, if you're I want you to stand up. If you've been in the military, I want you to stand up. All of you, praise God. Amen. These men and women have protected our country. We're so grateful for all of them. Praise the name of Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. We're so grateful for each one of you that have protected our country. And we thank you for being men and women of integrity, men and women that have worked for this country, and that the main thing is that you know Jesus, and you love Jesus, and you serve Jesus. So anyway, if you need to be prayed for, all you need to do is, in fact, let my prayer warriors all stand up. These are the people that get prayers answered. When these people pray, they get prayers answered. So if you need something today, look around the room, find you a prayer warrior, and then go sit down with that prayer warrior and get your prayers answered and get everything taken care of in Jesus' name. And then I want you to go and have a great week this week. Do something good for Jesus. Just remember, whatever you do, do it as if you're doing it for the Lord, not toward man. You're doing it for God's purpose. And then I want you to do that. And then these are the ones. So, and we're going to cut it short because it is Memorial Day. And we praise the Lord for all of you coming and being a part of the team that meets here. And I want y'all to just be blessed this week and be blessed beyond blessed. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.